Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's time to kick off another fun week here on the show. And today, you are in for a treat because we're talking about some amazing accommodations that many of us dream about experiencing, but few of us have probably ever gotten to. We're going to talk about a three-bedroom villa over at the Grand Floridian. How about a three-bedroom villa at the Riviera and the Polynesian bungalows? And on top of that, we're going to talk about a two-bedroom over at Copper Creek. Yes, all of those accommodations in one show. That's three trips. We're kind of combining them all together. We're also going to talk about the sommelier dinner over at Citrico's. We're going to talk about Jollywood Nights. We're going to talk about some great experiences all around Walt Disney World. So if you are ready for a very fun show with a lot of unique experiences at Walt Disney World, we've got you covered here for the next 40 minutes. So let's have some fun. Today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney trip for no additional cost to you. That's right. It costs you nothing extra to book with the Magic for Less, and you're going to get lots of little booking bonuses as well, like Disney gift cards and travel accessories with your bookings. So come on over this week over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our Patreon supporters. You guys keep us on the air. You're Club BOGP. So thank you for that. And when you support us, starting at just $5 per month, you get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. We'd love to have you coming over this week, patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2458 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Wow, hope your week is going better than mine is going already, but we're going to make it. We are going to get through. That's the bump in the road for this week. The rest of this week's going to be smooth sailing. So, hope you're having a great start to this week, and the weekend was awesome for you. We are all here together for one reason. It's time for a trip report. We need a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World, and that's what we have on tap for you for the next 35 to 40 minutes. And today, you are in for a treat. I bet you we have something here. Experiences at Walt Disney World you have never had. Maybe you have. Some of us might have, I bet you, but probably most of us haven't. But we're very curious about maybe a couple of these places. We've seen them. We've wondered about them. Today, we're going to get to talk about them. So let's have a good time and let's head out to the state of Ohio, where we have tons of fans because I get to see the demographics of where the show's downloaded. It's one of the most popular places for our podcast. So Andrea's joining us from out in the Buckeye State. What's up, Andrea? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So how are things out your way here now that we're into the spring season?
Oh, things are nice. Actually, today was beautiful. It was nice and sunny, a little cold, but, you know, we're getting there.
Yeah, so. Can't complain. I know up in the Mitten, I saw in Wisconsin, Tricia and Scott over in the Discord at beourguestpodcast.com/Discord. By the way, get over there. They're posting pictures of snow. We don't need that anymore.
Yeah, it's past that now, right?
Let's get over that. I mean, Easter's this weekend and, you know, baseball season starting here like in a week. No snow. We're done.
No snow.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's talk about your Disney fandom real quick so we can kind of see where this all started. You're listening to a Disney podcast and we're going to talk about today. It's not really one trip report. It's going to be like three in one kind of highlights of all three. But where does this this road all start for you?
You know, I went to Disneyland first as a kid. I think I was seven. And fell in love with the park, obviously. And then I think the first time I went to Disney World, I was probably about nine. My husband was about 10 or 11, I believe. But we've always loved it. But we really started going back maybe 2018. And it just, like, we fell in love with it all over again. And there's almost, you know, no other place I'd rather be besides, I mean, I love to be at home. But if I'm not at home, I would like to be at Disney. So. I just love everything about it.
I think it's a very common sentiment for a lot of our listeners. You know, it's like home is where the heart is. But, you know, so many of our listeners do say that when they walk down Main Street and see the castle, they feel like they're home again. You know, it's their second home.
Absolutely.
You see the shirts right at the castle to say home, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I'll see pictures, you know, on Instagram, or somebody will post something on TikTok and I'll just feel like, oh, I wish I was there. You know, I miss it. So it's great.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a reason why you think you have that draw to Walt Disney World? Is it, do you have like a certain event in life that happened there, or is there, because with me, I mean, it's the logistics of the place, the 24/7, 365 of a place that just never sleeps. Literally. It's just constantly in motion. But what is it for you?
For me, I believe, you just kind of leave the world behind when you're there. Like, it feels like you're just immersed in, I don't want to say childhood in like a childish way, but just, you know, I don't have any worries when I'm there. I feel like anything is possible. I don't know. I just love it. I just feel like it's a special place. And when people talk about being in the Disney bubble, that is absolutely a fact. Like, you are in this bubble that is different from any other place in the world, I believe.
Oh, man, that is so true. I think we all need that, especially as we move more and more in today's society, because we are, you know, constantly in contact with our jobs. You know, you don't get to just, I talk to my wife about this all the time, right? It used to be 9 to 5, you know, and you walked away from work. And, you know, even as a teacher, when I used to teach, you know, you'd leave school, but nowadays, you know, parents can get you, because she uses like a Dojo app or something, which is basically like a extended kind of texting system. So, you know, a parent will get a hold of her at 8:30 at night, you know, and that didn't used to happen. And your bosses are always contacting us. So when you're on vacation, at least at Walt Disney World, some people never, and every once in a while I will in the resort room lately, but I shouldn't, you know, some people like have this hard and true rule. Like, they won't turn on any outside TV channels. There'll be no contact with the outside world once they're in the bubble. So is that true for you?
It is true. Actually, in these three trips we're going to talk about here over the past year and 2 or 3 months, we spent probably a total of 20, 25 days with family. And when these trips first started, especially one was like, I think 11 days, we're like, what are we going to do for 11 days? Are we going to drive each other crazy? It went so fast. And we didn't work. We didn't have too much social media going or anything like that. And it's just a magical place.
It is. You know? And it is so cool when you get to reconnect with loved ones, whether they're blood relatives. And, you know, I consider Scott's family my family, and I hope he does as well, kind of reciprocally, because, you know, I would do anything for his family, and they're so good to me. And my family, you know, it's just when we're there, we get to be together with no worries. You know, we're having good meals. We're having great times on attractions. We're seeing shows, and we're just sometimes hanging out in a villa, you know, and sometimes he's taught me how to play cribbage over at Saratoga Springs. Never played that game before. Yeah, I mean, I think he cheated me, but I won. I won the first game, you know, and I think it's because he's like, I'm going to let him win the first game, so he doesn't, you know,
get him hooked.
Exactly. That's what I said. I was like, he's like, you got to do this. And then I'm like, you lost me a half hour ago. But anyway, so let's talk about these three trips. You went down with family. As I look at that, you made me this awesome spreadsheet flow sheet. That's awesome, which we're going to kind of use to draw from some of these notes, but they're all kind of like in the fall around the holiday season. So how did you put these together? Like, what was the reason to go down over these couple of years with friends and family?
So our favorite times to travel in Disney are either like November, December, and January, February, because the weather is amazing. The crowds normally aren't too bad. When you get into that November, December timeframe, or even end of October, we love Christmas. So all the holiday stuff is amazing. It's fun to go to the resorts and see all the different, you know, decorations and gingerbread houses and things like that. And then of course, Epcot does so many holiday festivals setups, and you can go to the Candlelight Processional and do amazing Christmassy things. So I think that's kind of what brought us down at that time of year. So
cool. Okay, so let's talk about the first trip. We're going to talk about three and kind of hit the highlights of all three. Sure. The first one that you noted was one with, again, you were talking two trips where you did with your aunts and your cousins. Now, again, today I want to kind of focus on the accommodations, a little bit heavy on this show compared to most, because your accommodations, when you sent this over to me about 24 hours ago, and I was talking to my wife about this over dinner right before we recorded today, is that they were pretty amazing. You know, like most people wonder about these places and say, man, I'd love to go tour these kind of accommodations, and you got to stay in them. So for this one, you guys did a 3-bedroom villa at the Grand Floridian.
We did.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what is that like? I just got to ask that because I've obviously never had that experience.
So I had seen pictures of it prior to going, and I had been in a lot of different Disney accommodations. And at that point in time, I was not a huge Grand Floridian fan. I mean, I liked it, but I always felt like, oh, it's a little bit stuffy, or I don't know. Excited to try it out, but I didn't think I would fall in love with it, but I was wrong. Totally fell in love with it. It is now a very close second favorite resort to Wilderness Lodge for me. Love it. The villas area in general is just nice. It feels special. It's quiet. It's not pretentious at all. It's very relaxed. But when I walked into the 3-bedroom Grand Villa, I could not stop laughing and smiling. It was beautiful. It was more than I thought it would be. You could stay there the whole entire week and do nothing outside of that room. If you wanted to hang out, play games, there's a media room. I mean, you could actually consider that a 4th bedroom because it has its own bathroom across the hall. So you could pack that place full of people.
So and, media room, share, like, because I don't even know really what, so does it have, what did it have?
It just has a giant kind of U-shaped couch and then access to a balcony and then just a big built-in unit that has a big TV.
Nice.
But yeah, it's designed to kind of come together to watch movies or whatever you want to do. But like I said, it has its own bathroom and the couch pulls out. So you can stick people in that room to sleep if you need to. Could have a 4th family there. I mean, if you wanted to go together with friends or something.
And you said something that's very interesting because I've only stayed in like a bigger unit one time. Well, twice, but one time it was just for one night. I just kind of shacked up with the Foresters after a big Magic for Less event. We had a cabin over at Boulder Ridge, or Copper Creek. But the one thing I will say, and you said this and it is so true. We stayed with the Gardeners. We split a 2-bedroom villa before a cruise for a few nights at Okie West. And the one thing that caught me by surprise is that when we were in that thing, it changed exactly. Because we went, we're like, okay, we're going to do all these, we're going to go to these restaurants. We're going to go to all these, we're going to spend all this time in the theme parks. But once we had the villa, we just wanted to hang out in the villa and play games. And like we got groceries, we baked cookies, we sat on the patio overlooking the golf course. And we just hung out like we were at home. We had no desire to leave the villa. We were having such a good time. So it does... It sounds like kind of the same thing for you because you have such plush accommodations that it almost zaps your desire to go out into the theme parks.
It really did. I mean, every morning we'd wake up and it's just gorgeous and you go out on the balcony and you look and the sounds and the sights and it's just beautiful. And we did spend a lot of time in the room. There is a game that we like to play called Mexican Train. I don't know if you've ever played that.
Yeah, we played that that COVID, man. We played that hours every night. Hours. Yes.
Yeah, it's addictive. But there's a huge dining room table in the villa and it can seat up to 12, but I think there are like 10 main chairs around it. But we played Mexican Train and we had that thing all covered and there was one night we stayed up till I think 3 a.m. playing. It just time doesn't exist at Disney sometimes, but
yes,
we had a good time.
It catches up to you, but it doesn't exist in the immediacy, but it will catch you. So before, because you transferred over to another great accommodation during the same trip I want to talk about, but let's kind of switch gears. How about a couple of nice dinner experiences you had with your relatives during this trip?
So we had, I think I'm starting with the furthest trip back. If I'm going in the wrong order, I apologize.
No, but, it's fine. This is
okay. So we did a lot of amazing dining. Actually, everything we did, we loved. But we did 2 very special things that I didn't know that I would ever get to do. And I will preface this by saying I did not finance this trip. I paid for basically my airfare and my tickets. I have a very, very, very generous family member who is just a beautiful person inside and out, and she wanted us to all go on a trip together and it was amazing.
Very sweet.
She's amazing. But I know I'm very lucky. I could not do this myself, but we went to Victoria and Albert's. And that was something that I had always, you know, I had heard about and I thought I would love to do someday, but it's a lot. So we had talked about, we were going to do it for our 20th anniversary. And we had a plan to do that. And that plan kind of fell through because of COVID and some other things. So when we went on this trip, she's like, hey, let's go. Let's do this. She had been before. And it was amazing. It was probably better than I thought it would be. Because before we went, I thought, well, I'm going to do this once and then that's it, you know, and I want to go again. I would absolutely go again. Haven't been back, but someday I think, you know, I will make it happen because it was a beautiful experience. The restaurant itself is gorgeous. Of course, everybody probably knows in the Grand Floridian right up next to Citrico's. Service was really great. The food was amazing. I tried some things I had never tried before, but the presentation was just incredible. I mean, if you're a foodie at all, I know you have talked before about things you like and things you don't, but it was a great experience. And I would recommend it to anyone if they have the opportunity to do it. It's a long time though. It takes a lot of time.
That's what I heard. I would try it. I'd be a fish out of water. 100%. 1000% be a fish out of water in that place. But I mean, I'm up for life experiences. One time this is totally not on the same scale. But Pam Forrester booked us all, the gardeners and her family, all of us. We did the high tea at the Grand Floridian.
I always wanted to do that.
But I was a fish out of water at that. And you know what? I ended up having the best time at that, you know, because the lady that came around that was serving us, she asked me how I took my tea. And I told her, honestly, the only tea I've had in my life was from my grandma or sweet tea from my grandma or from McDonald's, the sweet tea. Yeah. So she's like, funny. Oh man, sir, you need help. I was like, I do. I was like, I'm sorry. I do. I don't know. But she was so sweet. Right. She's like, well, this is a great opportunity to try something new in your life. I'm like, exactly. It became like such a cool experience because she was kind. And I think that's what it would be like. It'd be a fish out of water, but it would be a really opportunity to grow as a person. Let me ask you one thing about Victoria and Albert before we jump on to something else. Is there something that somebody like me or somebody that's out there that's just a little bit curious about this experience, hasn't done it, that maybe you would offer them, you know, maybe something that surprised you or something that they might not think about that they should know?
I will say that I was worried things would be a little more unique than they were. I think the presentation and the combinations are unique, but there wasn't much on the menu that I was worried about eating. There were a couple of things. I mean, I don't like raw fish. I don't like most sushi. I don't like caviar. I don't love escargot. There are things that I kind of shy away from because I'm not a super fancy eater, but I enjoyed, I would say everything we tried, I enjoyed. And they will make accommodations for you. Before you go, you give them a list of allergies and you can give preferences. I don't think they really advertise that, but you can, because you talk to them before you go. And, you know, if you're allergic to something or if you have an intolerance, absolutely tell them. They will fix it so that whatever they're making you is going to sit well with you. But if you, like, I don't like tomatoes and I don't like blue cheese. So I said, please don't put blue cheese on anything because if it touches it, I won't enjoy it. And, you know, and they took care of it. They were amazing. When you go, you get a menu printed and it has your name on it. Sweet. So I kept that, brought that home. But yeah, so everything that you're going to eat is laid out in front of you. And they have recommended wine pairings to go with each thing, or you can buy the wine pairing. I did not do that because that would be lost on me. I like wine, but I don't know enough about it.
Same.
Yeah. I was like, I can't justify, you know, the cost for this. So I did not do that. But if you do like wine, you can do that, or you can look at what they recommend under each course. And the guesswork is done for you. So if you're someone who wants to try new things, but you're not really sure, but yet you have a couple of fears, if you don't like blue cheese like me, or if you don't like raw seafood, tell them and they will take care of it and you'll have an amazing time without trying things you don't want to try.
So, great advice, because, you know, it's probably not as uncommon as you might think. Sometimes I think we think, oh my gosh, like everybody eats everything, but I bet you more people, everybody has their likes and dislikes. So
yeah,
don't be scared to voice them. Okay, you mentioned one other place that you thought was really, you had a really cool special experience. So tell us about that.
Yes. So I hesitate to talk about this because I don't know anyone who really does, and we don't want it to get too crowded because we love it.
I know, that's my problem.
At Centrica, I open my big,
yeah, exactly. We open our big mouths here and we burn ourselves, but go ahead.
I cut out for a minute. I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but at Citrico's at the Grand Floridian, they have a special dinner that you can do there, and it's just called the Sommelier Dinner. And it is something that you have to schedule in advance, clearly. It's not, you know, they only do one seating a night. And you get, if you've been in Citrico's, there is a room that's glassed in. And if you've been there, you might have noticed there is a coat rack that has Mary Poppins' carpet bag and her hat. And that room has a table in it. And if you're like me and you've been there before, you've wondered, how do you get that table? Or who are those people? But, you know, how can I sit in there? Well, you can go to the Sommelier Dinner and you get to sit in there. The service is just unbelievable. I actually preferred it to Victoria and Albert. And it's less expensive. It's still not cheap, but it is absolutely amazing. There is a waiter there that handles the Sommelier Dinner. He also works in the main dining room. His name is Nadim. And if I could bring him home, I would. He is the best waiter I've ever had in my life. I adore him. He was amazing. The chef there is amazing as well. And he comes in every course and explains to you what they made, where they got the ingredients, where they got their inspiration. It's a little more, I say, down to earth than Victoria and Albert. It's a little bit, it's not plain by any means. I mean, it's still really interesting and really unique, but it's just more easy to situate yourself with, I guess. Like, right. It's not anything out there. Everything's delicious. It is several courses, and you get pairings with this. So if you do like wine, you get wine included with this, and they give you wine that matches well with what you're eating. You don't have to think about that either. So
that sounds like it, but it's probably extremely hard to get, I would imagine, because of the exclusivity.
Yeah. I, you know, it's not,
or maybe because people don't know about it, but now
people don't really know. Totally now they're going to know. No, I'm not kidding. When we were like, I don't really want to tell people. No, I heard about this, because there was a, YouTube channel that went. That's the only reason I've ever heard of it. And we've actually looked since then to try to find somebody else who's been to see what their experience was like. I've never seen anyone do a show on it. So I don't know. They don't really advertise it. You do have to contact them in advance, obviously. And since it is only one seating a night, there's a good chance that, you know, you might not be able to get it. So you have to keep a couple dates open. I would say I think we picked 3 dates that worked when we reached out, and I think 2 of them were available.
Nice.
So yeah. Well, so if you ever are that way over at the Grand Floridian and you want a really wonderful meal, check it out.
Well, Scotty G loves Narcoosis.
It is long though. It is. I mean, we were there till the restaurant was closed. It was after 11 and we started at 6.
Holy cow. That is a long dinner.
It is a really long
holy
dinner.
Holy smokes. That is. Yeah. That's extra innings there for me right there.
It is. I mean, but it's crazy. It's again, that Disney time. Yeah. It goes fast. I mean, you're sitting there and there's never a lull. You're never bored. You're sitting there, you know, talking, enjoying the company of the people you're with, talking to, the waiter and the chef, and the sommelier comes in and they're so interesting and they know so much, they have so much knowledge, and they teach you interesting facts about wine and food. And it's just really, really fun. It's a great experience. We've learned a lot just by going, but
I just got to say, we've been doing this show for 16 years now, and I love these Monday shows because I learn something every Monday, and I hope our audience does too, you know, because there's always something to be learned because we all travel differently. And it's so funny because, I know people around me say, how can you do a Disney podcast and talk for 2,500 episodes about the same place? But this is it. You know, like, I had no idea that existed until 15 minutes ago.
Right.
And, you know, it's a cool experience.
I know. And people say to us all the time, like, don't you get bored going to Disney, doing the same thing? I'm like, we do something different every time we go. Every time there's something new. And it's, you know, like you said, there's always something to learn about, something different to do.
And there's always a new cupcake. Like, if you want to go on the other side of the perspective,
absolutely,
from this dinner, there's always a new hot dog. You know, something.
Those are good things too. Actually, I'm a big fan of the desserts and things. Like, I want to see what they're doing for different festivals, and that stuff's fun.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So we got to get all this in because you got so much to go. So you transferred from the 3-bedroom over at the Grand Floridian over to the Polynesian bungalows and stayed there. So what's that like? It said rain, though. It looks like you had a little.
Oh, yeah.
My God. I hate
that. So I know. It was, and it wasn't just rain. It was rain.
I'm sure.
It was all caps. Yeah. So that was something that, you know, I had only seen the bungalows from afar. Like, I had never been close. I did see a couple of YouTubers tour them, so I'd seen them online, but something that I've always wanted to do, never thought I would get a chance to. I will say, sadly, I think it is a one and done for us, just because of they're so expensive. They're really far out there, so everything you do, it's a hike. So if you want to go to the main building to go to one of the restaurants or the pool or whatever it is, you're walking, and let me tell you, in the rain, that is not so fun. They actually had hurricane level storms, and we found out the morning we were checking out that they had an evacuation plan, and they had already found us accommodations elsewhere, and they were going to pull us out of there.
I can see
because
that.
the foundation, of course, you know, it's on the water on stilts, and that thing was swaying, and it was
exposed.
A little scary.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at it, because you got all that wind coming off. I mean, there's no break from the winds there for quite a while. Yeah. I would not want to be in one of those during a hurricane.
Right. I mean, it was beautiful. We arrived in the rain and we left in the rain. But the sad part about it is it has like a little plunge pool, I think they call it. So it has like this little pool, and kind of similar to your experience in the cabins. If the weather would cooperate, you could be out in that little pool and you could watch the electric water parade or maybe see some fireworks potentially. And we didn't get to do any of that because it just stormed the whole entire time. It was raining so bad. It was coming in sideways. Our ceiling leaked. There was water coming through the lights. It was crazy. It was an experience. We laugh about it though. I mean, it was a memory that will stay with us forever. And even though it wasn't the best situation, we had a really good time, and it was just funny and fun. And we're like, of course, we finally get to stay in this amazing place, and we're like stuck here and it's leaking. Like, it just, right. You know, so it wasn't the best situation, but it was still amazing. They are beautiful. I would recommend someone checking them out. But if I was going to do a park heavy trip, I don't think I would stay there because they're just, they don't seem that far when you see them from the water, but they're far.
What I think too, like, if I was going to compare those for somebody that's thinking about staying at those, now they are obviously on the monorail, and it's not, this is not a great comparison, but you probably want to spend more time in the actual bungalow itself. Like, the planned time to be there. It's kind of like the treehouse villas. The treehouse villas, you want to have a car because transportation from the treehouse villas, I've stayed there too with Pam. It's good to know Pam Forrester. But this was years ago. It was like when we first started the show, maybe 2010 or something. But we had like 90 people in a treehouse villa. I do not know how we did not get arrested that day. Funny. We had a sound system. We were broadcasting on the radio that day. We had cake and punch, and we had Jay barbecuing out on the grill. It was wild. I do not know how we did not get arrested. But anyway, after that, when I didn't go to jail, I spent the night there too. And the thing was, like, it was awesome to have, like, it was like a house on stilts. But again, it was not practical to go over to Saratoga Springs to the main, dining hall, or, to catch the buses was not great. You know, you want to have a car. So kind of same thing, right?
Exactly.
It's great to like hang there.
Yeah.
But not. Yeah. Oh, cool.
It's probably very similar. Yeah. Except you can't really park next to the bungalows. It's really close to the transportation and ticket center. I feel like I could just, throw something and hit it. It was, it was an experience, not convenient. And if it's raining and you can't really enjoy what you're trying to do there in the bungalow, it was a bummer because it was definitely a bucket list item, and I probably won't get a chance to go back. And
you never know. The weather has got you that time. I bet you. I mean, if it was sunny and 75, probably awesome. So, okay. Yes. A couple other things I want to talk about here, because you got a couple other trips. we kind of combine these because you got to stay at the Riviera, obviously one of the newest resorts at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks, I think when this resort was being built, like, I'm not going to like this resort. It's a big, gray, tall building. And now I think everybody sees it like, man, that's kind of a nice looking resort. I need to get in there, myself included. I got to stay with Scott one again. Scott's DVC. I stayed with him just one night, crashed there just before a trip. And I love it there. It's got nice amenities. It's beautiful grounds. You stayed at 2 and a 3 bedroom. So just kind of combine the two and give us the experience.
Yeah, it was, you know, like you said, it's a beautiful resort. Great dining. Love the Skyliner. So it's really convenient for that. You can see fireworks from the top. It's beautiful. A lot of people complain about the fact that you can look out and you're looking over Caribbean Beach. That does not bother me. I think that's fine.
I think it's pretty with the pastel colors and the palm trees and the water.
Exactly. Yeah, it does not bother me. Riviera is... People say it doesn't feel Disney. It just feels like a hotel. I don't agree with that. I think it feels very Disney. There's music when you walk in, as you know, they'll have like Bippity Boppity Boo playing, but it's in French and it just sticks in your head. And, it just feels very Disney magical to me. I love it. The 2 bedroom is very nice. Absolutely would stay there again. But the 3 bedroom was gorgeous. It rivals the Grand Floridian 3 bedroom. It's not, I mean, that's still the top, but it's a close second. It was beautiful. So we really enjoyed our time there.
Did you find that they did anything innovative in how they laid out the 3 bedroom as far as like, I don't know, like obviously the Grand Floridian had the refurb and all that stuff recently, but I mean, did you find it efficient? Did you find it, updated as far as everything you needed and all that kind of stuff? Cause Riviera obviously brand new.
Yeah, they did think of pretty much everything. I mean, I was telling my aunt, I said, I could move in here. I could take this and make it, you know, or I could go home and redecorate my house to look like this and be 100% happy. Grand Floridian is a little formal, so it's very different. Riviera was just beautiful. I mean, it's modern, but it's not too cold and sterile. They did think of everything. They had these amazing throw blankets that we were all fighting over on the couches. It just felt like you were at home. I mean, it was just really nice. The TVs are all, the smart TVs are interactive. So you can, not that you want to sit and watch TV, but sometimes you do. Yep. So you can like log on, you know, hook your phone up and stream. They had the Hey Disney, the new Alexa Disney thing that where you can ask for, you know, more shampoo or whatever. They had that. That was nice. They had really great setup. Of course, all the villas have washer and dryer, and the setup there was really nice, and they thought of everything. So it was you could move in there, absolutely, 100%.
That's what I said every time at Disney, one of those villas. I'm like, this is as nice as my house.
It's way nicer than my house. That's bigger. Awesome. I mean, some of these places are bigger than house.
In our old house, for real, it was, because we lived in a small house. I mean, our house right now is not big, but you know, like we have a finished basement now, and my office is down here, so that makes it feel bigger. But it's still not big. All right, during this kind of middle trip with your parents, which is very cool. And let me just ask you that kind of in general: how is it traveling with your parents? That'd be kind of fun. I've always wanted to go with my parents, never got the opportunity.
So I have been my. This was my husband's father and stepmother. We've been to Disney. We had been in the past with my mom and dad, and we've been with his dad and stepmom now on this trip. And we've been with his mother, and they're all very different travelers.
Suck it, Avenge.
So we had a good time with all of them. They all love Disney. That's a good thing. But these two, his dad and his stepmother, they're really easy to travel with, and we have a good time. We go on cruises with them in other places, so we, you know, weren't unfamiliar with how they travel. So it worked really well, but they had never been to Disney for an extended period. So this was a first. Well, I take that back. His dad, when he was a kid, they went, but as adults, they hadn't been, or without, you know, kids, they hadn't been back. So they had a really good time. We tried to hit some highlights there, do some special things. It was kind of a combination birthday trip and just for fun Disney trip. And it was great. Everyone got along. There's so much to do. I mean, nobody was ever bored or wanting to go home, or, you know, it's Disney.
So. Yeah. Neither one of my parents are Disney people. So I just think, you know, like I really wanted, my dad works for the Rams. So, but he lives in St. Louis. 5 minutes for me. I can almost see his house out the window here, but
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd be out in LA when we were out there for the half marathon in January. And I just wanted to show him Disneyland for one day because Scott's dad got to be there for one day. And just to see, so he could see what I get excited about. Like I've been talking about for 16 years. And I don't know if he would get it though. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm walking around the park, like I think I would kill him. Like, you know, he's 70 years old and he's in pretty good shape because he, you know, hauls all his equipment for the Rams and does all this stuff. And I mean, but I just think, I don't know, man. He would just be like, what are you doing to me? You know, like I don't know if he would get it. You know, like we get it. I think he'd just be like, man, we're in an amusement park. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he would, but maybe I'm selling short.
We have those people in our lives. So it's, you know, you want that so bad, but then if you push it and it doesn't go the way you want, it kind of ruins it.
I'd like to show. I mean, maybe next year. We'll see. One of the other things you did was a fireworks cruise. Andy did Hoop-De-Doo. So do you want to talk about either one of those? Because I've done both and those are two of my favorite things. I just got to say.
If I had the means, I would do a fireworks cruise every time. 100%. I love it. It was amazing. We did the 10-person pontoon was the only thing available, but it was just the four of us. And basically, for anyone who has not done it, you can leave from several different resorts, but we left from the Grand Floridian this time. But they take you out. You have a private guide, and they take you out prior to the fireworks, maybe by like an hour, I would say. And they take you all around Bay Lake. There's one that leaves from the Epcot area as well. We've never done that, but take you all around Bay Lake. They tell you a little bit of history. They show you the sites. They show you the different resorts and explain different aspects of their job and how certain things work with like the electrical water pageant, things like that. And you get to view the fireworks. They stop right in front of Magic Kingdom and you get to see them. You can hear the music. They have the music piped into the boat. They give you snacks. It's great. And then once you're done, they take you back and you get to watch the electric water pageant.
But dress warm because it can get cold out on that water. Because I've done like three or four of those fireworks cruises, and like the ones around Christmas time, they get chilly quick on the
water. It was cold. They had blankets for us, but it was cold. But I was glad it didn't rain or anything. So it was a really, really nice time. I loved it. I would do, like I said, I would do it every time if I was able. But
cool. So in Hoop-De-Doo, you got to see the Christmas show. Is that something you guys like too?
We loved it. And we've been to Hoop-De-Doo before, just the regular, you know, show. And this show isn't too terribly different, but it's decorated for Christmas and they throw in some Christmas songs. I don't know if you've been to the Christmas version, but such a fun time. I mean, for anyone who hasn't been, I would really recommend it. I have my best friend is a Disney person, but she will not go to Hoop-De-Doo. She's like, it's corny. And I said, but it's supposed to be. That's its charm. Like you have to go. So I'm trying to convince her to go sometime. It's just such a good time. And I like the food. I think it's great. And everybody, it's just a good vibe. Like when you're there, everybody's happy. And, you know, unless my husband, he does not like to be called up on stage or any type of audience participation is not for him.
That's my wife.
So he gets really nervous. He likes to sit up at the top, which is the cheap seats anyway. So that's good. But he gets nervous. But then once he's there, he's okay. So if you don't like to be called on, you know, sit up top. But that's the only stressor. Otherwise, it's just a really good time. So.
That's so my wife. Yeah, she's totally that. She's like, you're Mr. Microphone. Do not like every time. Like, her birthday was a couple of weeks ago. And so we went to Texas Roadhouse the other night, you know, just to have dinner. And, you know, they bring her on the saddle or whatever, you know, and they make people sit on it and they all hoot and holler. And they came, here comes the saddle down the aisle. And I said, I told them when I went to the bathroom that it was your birthday. And she's like, you will be divorced. I'm like, I did not.
Kill you.
She was dying because here came that saddle, but it was going to another part of the restaurant. I got kicked. One other place that I wanted to talk about, because I want to say you mentioned this is your favorite resort. So I want to save this one for last. And I agree, especially this time of the year. I tell my guests over the Magic for less, and I will tell the listeners, if you're going down during the holiday season, going down anytime after Halloween till the beginning of the year, if you get the opportunity, you will never regret staying at Wilderness Lodge. It is just like staying in a movie. I mean, it's like a storybook. It's like a Christmas movie. So you stayed at Wilderness Lodge. You got to stay in a 2-bedroom villa over at Copper Creek. So give us that take.
Well, as you said, it is just a magical resort. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been there now, and I walk in and I just look up at the lobby's just amazing.
It is,
and
it's like,
I mean, yeah, it is jaw dropping. It's gorgeous. I love the little store there. I love the dining. The grounds are just gorgeous. I love the pools. Like, everything about it is just perfect for me. And highly recommend it. If listeners have not been, at least go check it out. Go have a meal there, or just see the resort. You can go over to the Boulder Ridge area, and there's like a separate little building, and mm-hmm. has a fun little room where some of Walt's trains are. Yep. It's called the Train Room. You can go check that out if you're a fan of Walt Disney. But yeah, we stayed there, and it was a phenomenal time. We just had a great time. Love everything about the resort. We did go to Storybook Dining at Artist Point, which is a character meal, and food is amazing. If you want to do a character meal at Disney and you want to do something different, I would recommend that. The interaction is great. You get to meet the Evil Queen, a couple of the dwarves, and the setting is just amazing. The serving dishes they have look like they're trees. I mean, everything is just so well themed, and the food's good. You don't always get that at a character meal. I mean, Chef Mickey's is hit and miss, right? But this is good, and something unique, and it's right there at the resort. Right. Can't beat it.
So. And we don't talk about that place much, Artist Point there, the Storybook Dining, but every person talks about it, raves about it. They say it's good. People say it's on the costly side, but it's worth it when they come back. That's what I consistently hear. You know, it's like, oh, it's expensive, but it was worth it. That's what people say.
Yeah.
So
it is. I mean, yeah, it's not cheap, but Disney, you know, Disney's not.
No, so, seriously.
Yeah. Anywhere you're going to go is not going to be cheap. But if you're going to go to a meal and you want to do a character dining experience, I would recommend it. It's definitely a good choice. So
now I'm looking at your most recent trip, because we got a few minutes left. I'm trying to hit a couple of the highlights. Yeah. RIP Big River Grill. You ate there, so we won't talk
about
that.
I know. We really liked it. That was our first time.
Oh my gosh. Well, we could mention that one final time here on the show, because we ate there too a couple of times, and you probably won't ever mention that again in the history of the show. But yeah,
I know. It was sad.
I mean, it was okay. There wasn't much going on inside. If you ate inside, if you ate outside, it was nice. I mean,
well, I will say it stunk really bad there. We ate there. So that was the bad thing. The food was okay, but I literally was like, something, it smells like dirty mop water or something. I don't know. So it was an interesting experience, but we liked the food. It was good. I would have gone back. I mean, it wasn't someplace that I was putting on my must-do list, but you know, it's a shame it's not there. So I
mean, maybe they gave up. I don't know.
They gave up.
I mean, you had flying fish too. So I mean, is that's Pam Forster's favorite place. So you also enjoy that place.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. This is actually, we had been, you know, been in the past, but this particular visit was just phenomenal. It was so good. Cool. Great, great, great meal.
Okay, so one kind of to wrap, because we are getting a little bit long here, but the one thing you also did on this final one, which it seems like this experience is going to come back this season, and at first it was a train wreck, right? But initially, before the event happened, I was so excited because, and so I think everybody was, Jollywood Nights over at Disney Hollywood Studios, they were taking the idea of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom. This is my opinion. Yes. They were taking that idea of a hard ticket event after hours over to the studios, kind of theming it more to adults, not exclusively adults, but an adult audience, matching it to the theme of the park, you know, that era, giving it that experience. But the first night was just kind of logistically challenging, I will say. And I think also the society that we live in right now, with the influencer culture, some of the influencers, I think, look for things to go wrong, and that got heavily emphasized on social media. And of course, when you're trying something for the first time, you don't always anticipate how things are going to go, where the demand's going to be, what everybody's going to, you know, go for first, right? And I think Disney quickly pivoted in the following parties and really kind of figured it out. And I think in the second season, if they do this again, it will be a much better experience from the get-go. But you got to experience this. So what was your, because I didn't get to do it, but what was your take on this experience?
So when I saw they were doing it, I was so excited. I was like, this is right up my alley. Like, it's, I love Hollywood Studios, and it just sounded so fun. And we were going to go to one of the parties, but we weren't going to go to both. So we're like, which one do we want to do? We had done Very Merry Christmas before. So we're like, let's try this. It's going to be new. we had the best time. I mean, I would 100% recommend it to anybody. It was so much fun. We got on every single ride. The only thing we couldn't do was rise. It went down. We actually waited in line in the rain for 45 minutes because they said it was going to come back up and it didn't. But people were dressed up like fancy. We weren't, but like, it was so much fun to see these fancy dresses and suits. People looked like they were, you know, from the 40s or I don't know. It was amazing. It was so much fun. It didn't end well because of the rain. Like I said, walking to the bus, which one thing that did bug me is we stayed in a Skyliner resort. And part of the reason was like, hey, we're going to leave this party and be able to take the Skyliner back. And they shut it down, which they told us on the way over. That was disappointing. So we had to walk to the buses in the rain. And literally I was trying to like talk myself through it. I was like, left foot, right foot, just keep going. Like, no, I was like, I'm just going to stop. It was horrible.
I 100% agree with that. Like the Skyliner should be running to the Skyliner resorts, like every time till every guest is gone, no matter what. I mean, that's,
just, I agree with you.
That's why you stay at those. I 100% hear you there.
So that was a real bummer, but no, we had a fabulous time. I mean, it was such a good vibe. It was so, you know, I love Christmas in Hollywood Studios just anyway, but it was like amped up. But we were surprised we came back and we were like, hey, let's watch some of these reviews, some of these vlogs and see, cause we saw a lot of influencers. If you watch, you know, different Disney YouTube channels, like you would have seen pretty much anybody you could think of. They just slammed it. It really made me feel sad for Disney because I'm like, they tried really hard. I think they did try. I think they, to your point, didn't know what to anticipate, weren't sure how to like make everything work logistically, which, you know, normally they're better at, but this was new. And I think they didn't know that everyone was going to rush to try to get food at this one location or go to this one show. And it just, like you said, they were able to remedy that for future events. But it made me sad to see all the hate because we had a fabulous time and I hope it comes back. I'll go again for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, it's just everything is so immediate, you know, and I felt bad because, you know, I'm not always, you know, going to give Disney the pass on things because if I was one of those people that was, you know, 78th in line trying to get to something that I was thought was going to be super, you know, have high access to, I would have been frustrated, right? Because I mean, I'm paying a lot of money for that ticket and the party's only so long and I wanted to have, you know, some kind of a, you know, experience during the party. I get that. So I feel the pain of all the people that are at the party, but you know, it's a first time experience. When you go to the first time of anything, a debut of anything, you know, first time you see a play or something, it's probably, I mean, it's human nature. It's not going to be as good as the 17th performance, you know, because you live and learn.
Absolutely. You're going to have hiccups. And I'm not saying there weren't any for us, but it, all in all, was a really great night. And I hear the frustrations, you know, I get what people are saying. And for some people, what they put value in, I could see where they were upset, but we just had a good time being there and walking around. We didn't try to do some of the things that people were complaining about, but
yeah, it's good.
I do hope it comes back. And I think that if I would gladly go again, and I would probably change a little bit about how I go about things, but
it sounds like they are going to do it again. I think they're because they've been surveying guests, you know, what would you change? Good. What would you, you know, like to see to give it a better value? So I think it will. And I hope it does, because I would hate to see them abandon something that they now got a good data point on. You know what I'm saying? Like they you've done the hard work. Now you've got some of the kinks worked out. You know what people are going to want, expect. Now fix those things and you really got something, because I love the idea of it. The idea of it is so cool. It matches the park perfectly.
It was such a cool idea. Absolutely. I hope they make it a little longer. I mean, if you look at the cost per minute, it was kind of crazy. But we were actually doing the math when we were sitting in the rain waiting for rides.
No, never do that. Never do that. That's always tell my family. Just we paid the money. Just don't think about it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We shouldn't have. But you know, it was a great time, and I'm glad to hear that. I hadn't heard that they were considering bring it back necessarily. I was hoping, so that's great news.
I hope. As we wrap here, and this has been so much fun, just kind of bouncing all over the place, talking about these great accommodations, great meals, great experiences. You have anything on the horizon that you're looking forward to? Any future trips? Anything you maybe you're hoping to do?
we are going in May for, we have some good friends. Their little boy is getting ready to turn 3. So we're doing that, you know, last cheap Disney trip before, before he turns 3.
Yes.
He actually turns during the trip. And we're really excited about that. We are staying at Copper Creek.
Nice.
Our favorite. So, I think we're only going to go to 2 parks. We're going to Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. And the rest of the time, it's going to be some downtime. They're actually bringing her parents with them, too. And I don't think they've ever been to Disney. So they're excited to show them what they love. It's kind of what you were saying. Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we're hoping that we can do one of the fishing excursions because we've got a couple of big fishermen in this group. So I don't know. We'll see. So that's going to be a new experience for us if that happens.
So I have fished multiple times at Walt Disney World. And now I am not a fisherman at all, but friend of the show, one of my great friends, Mark Yerkes, up in Plainfield, Illinois, up near Chicago. He is a great friend, podcast cruised with us many times. He's gone to many of our events. He is an avid fisherman. Like, he goes to Walt Disney World and he will book a fishing excursion for 75% of the days he's there. Like, he'll go down just to fish. And he's got he's got a friend who's a guide at Walt Disney World, and he calls him, and like, they go out together, and you know, he books it, and he's his guide. So he fishes all the bodies of water around Walt Disney World. So we get the pontoon boat, right? So we fished in World Showcase Lagoon. We have fished Bay Lake. We have fished in Seven Seas Lagoon. I mean, we have fished all over the place.
And that's amazing.
But here's the great thing. Let me just to tell you this. This is the whole thing. Because I am not a fisherman. I don't even like touching fish. I'm an indoor, I'm a sports guy, and I'm not a big rugged outdoors guy. Like, I don't have a big beard or anything, but I will touch them because, you know, I'm out there because we get this boat full of all of our friends, you know, the Phil Sheingold, Scott goes, my daughter Paige loves fishing. Cause her real dad like is a big fisherman. So when she's real little, she used to fish with him. But the thing is, like, she loves fishing, so she'll like grab the fish and everything. She's like more aggressive with the fish than I am. Hannah, Steve, you know, Pam's kid, her husband. We all fill up this boat, but the guy will, if you ask him to, and he'll volunteer, like, he'll bait your hook. If you catch one, he'll take the
hook. Maybe I'll go then.
Oh, yeah. He'll bait your hook. He'll take the fish off for you. But the thing is, like, he'll be like, you want to kiss it? And then, like, you got to kiss it for the picture. He's like, dude, you got kids. Because I caught this whopper, man, in Epcot, in World Showcase, like right in front of Germany. He's like,
that's
Mike.
Amazing.
He's like, Mike, you got to kiss that sucker. He's huge. I'm like, oh, it stinks, man. It stinks. But he's like, you got to kiss it for the picture. So I'm like,
that's so funny.
He's kissing this big old bassy. Well, I mean, it's peer pressure. There's like 10 of us on the boat. It was so gross. But the bottom line is, I am so far from a fisherman. I had no clue what was going on, but he threw the bait on my hook. All I had to do was cast, and he showed me how to cast out there. Yeah. He's like, Mike, you got one. I just start reeling that sucker in. Boom. I bring it in. It's on the hook. He's like, he helps me, gets the net. He takes that thing off. I just got to hold. He's like, hold it like this so it doesn't bite you or, you know, hurt you. Grab your finger so you don't lose anything. I don't know if it's going to bite my finger off or not, but I was being careful. I like to keep my fingers. So I'm holding it, you know, the thing's kind of kicking, and I'm kissing it and getting a picture and then throwing them back in. And I mean, it was, bottom line, it was a great time for somebody who has no clue. So totally book it. It's so fun.
Where would you recommend, like, what was your favorite place to fish?
So, here's me. I'm a Disney geek. So the whole time I loved World Showcase Lagoon because the whole time I'm just like, dude, I'm looking at like American Adventure, like the American Gardens Pavilion, because we were right up by there, by the Germany Pavilion. Yeah. I like that because it was before the park opened. But also, we did Sunrise on Bay Lake. And so they were just taking out the ferries for the day from backstage. Wow. That was super cool by the Contemporary. And we also went out of the Polynesian one time at Sunrise. Now, that was gorgeous, too. So, really, there's no... Yeah. And he also fishes sometimes out of Caribbean Beach. But I would either World Showcase or maybe Bay Lake. It was gorgeous.
Okay. Good advice.
And I joke about it. I say they put a scuba diver under your boat just so everybody gets
to give you the fish. I wouldn't put it past Disney, you know.
I said, it's Disney. There's like a scuba diver under there, just putting them on your hook there, so everybody gets happy. It's, you know, it's the world's, yeah. You know, everybody's happy. But yeah,
well, I'm so glad to know that you've done it so many times and it's a good experience. So.
It's all Mark because I don't have a clue, so it's fine. But anyway, hey, thanks for coming on, Andrea.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I hope you get the fish. You have to let me know how it goes. Shoot me an email.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good spring and Thanksgiving for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Don't forget our show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney Vacation this week. Just come by the website over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click supports everything we do throughout the year. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys make all these shows possible, so thank you so very much for that. You can support us as well, just $5 a month. And you'll get our bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. So come on over this week, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We'll have our live show this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. It's the BOGP Open Line. So come on and join us for that. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. Give us a call. And we'd love to hear from you there. And also, we have this conversation going on 24/7, 365 in between shows. It's on our Discord channel. It's a little chat room. It's a message board. It is so much fun. You need to join in on the fun with all of our listeners. It's the BOGP Clubhouse. So come on over to Discord. It's brguestpodcast.com/Discord. Also, give me a follow on the social media at brguestmike, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. So until we get back together again on Wednesday, you guys have a good one. So for Andrea out in Ohio, I'm Mike here in Missouri. You guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.